Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the many things you give us each and every day. And now the blessed opportunity you've given us to get back into your word. Help us now as we study to understand it and apply it the right way. Thank you oh so much as we pray in Jesus' precious heavenly name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word encouragement, we'll turn to Revelation chapter 3. We see here the verses concerning the message that was given to John, the letters to the seven churches, as we see here in chapter 3, where it reads, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Like we were speaking last time, it's awesome that the Lord takes time to look at our lives, to look at what we are achieving or what we are lacking in achievements, and points it out to us, lets us know. And that is done by the power of the Holy Ghost that is within us, communicating to our spirit, and can motivate us, can direct us, and can make us aware when we are failing in certain areas, as this letter going to this church is demonstrating here. Pointing out that the Lord knows your works. He knows everything. He knows everything that you've done. And it's awesome that he's paying that kind of attention to what we are doing and cares enough to give us the corrections when we need it. As he continues, verse 3, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Little warning there, letting us know. We don't know when our time is up. We don't know when the rapture is going to occur. Verse 4. "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." That's encouraging there. Letting us know that those of us that have stayed on the right path, that are doing it right, and have not defiled our garments, will be able to walk with the Lord in white, because we will be worthy. How do you wind up staying worthy? By staying in the will of the Lord. How do you keep that garment clean and spotless? By not defiling it. Don't turn around and get back into the sinful ways. We need to turn away from those. That's what he's talking about, how we need to repent from that. We need to stay on the straight and narrow. We need to not turn around and go back into the evil ways. Verse 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." That's awesome there, to let us know that what we have to look forward to is to be pronounced, confessed, declared that we are one of the family of God, and that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse 6, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And he's listening up. You're being told. We have it recorded. We have it preserved. And the Holy Ghost continually communicates with us. We need to listen up. Hear what he's telling us. Abide by what he's telling us. And then we can become one of those overcomers and be found worthy. Alright, verse 7, to the church at Philadelphia. "Reads, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Once again, proclaiming. Let us know. He knows everything that's going on. He sees what we've been doing. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. That's a very profound compliment that he's given to Philadelphia. But note, it's only a little strength. They're not perfect. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And that verse 10 is very encouraging there, to let us know that when we truly trust in the Lord and are abiding by His commandments, which is to love Him with all of our existence and to love others as ourselves, doing the work that we're supposed to do, we have so many blessings coming to us. And also, because we are born again Christians, we will be able to be kept from the hour of temptation. The hour of temptation is talking about the tribulation time. It's talking about a reference here to being raptured up, not having to go through that. Read 10 again. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This coming quickly means coming suddenly, not coming shortly. He's going to come very quick. When he comes, it's all going to be happening very quick. Because in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it refers to. And we need to know that we stay on the right pathway. Stay true. Don't let someone steal your crown. Don't let someone cause you to lose the rewards that you have been building up, have built, or could build. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. We need to know and understand that we have an opportunity to do a work now in this realm, also over in the millennial period, to do a work to serve the Lord for that 1,000 years, ruling and reigning with Him, set up as priests and kings and princes and so forth. And then carrying all that over into the eternal state and be able to be a part of the work of the Lord for eternity, and even be a part of the New Jerusalem that's going to come down from heaven and light upon the new earth, to be able to be in there and do a work right there for the Lord in that. That's what he's referring to here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Alright, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. These are those folks that are out there that are pretending to be godly, that are pretending, and in their mind they might think that they are doing good things and that they are godly people, but they haven't trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're trusting in their own wealth that they have accumulated through what they think was their own efforts by their own doings, but actually it was a blessing of God, but yet they're not appreciating it and giving thanks to God for it. They try to take credit for everything that they have as being their own power, their own might, not acknowledging that Jesus Christ, and by His grace, He allows them to even breathe. But as it says, they're actually miserable and poor and blind and naked. But they're not realizing it. They think because they might have a few things in this realm, in this world, that they got it okay, that they're all right. They go to church every once in a while just for the show, but they're not truly born again. Read 17 again. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You got to know what's really valuable. Not treasures down here. Treasures in heaven are the things of real value. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. We got to know that we got to have the works that are the gold, silver, and precious stones, not the wood, hay, and the stubble. When we truly trust in the Lord as our Savior, that is sealed. We're solid. He gives us an opportunity to do a work. And then when we do the works that need to be for the right reason, to serve the Lord, to please the Lord, to extend the kingdom, to benefit the kingdom. But there are those out there that try to get involved in the works because it just makes them feel good. They haven't began with the right work by trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They didn't do that. But they get a part of the, or become a part of the works of a church or a godly group because it makes them feel good, gives them fame, gives them glory. But they've never made the initial connection to be a part of the family of God. Therefore, they're missing out. Therefore, they are naked. Therefore, they're blind. They're not seeing. They need to start with trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and then beginning to do the right works, which are the gold, silver, precious stones that will be tried by fire that will last. Read 18 again. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. This is speaking of doing the right works that are going to last. That thou mayest be rich. Rich in the kingdom to come, not in this world. And white raiment. That white raiment, because you're washed in the blood. That thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. This is encouraging. I was like, oh, wait a minute, getting a whooping is encouraging? Well, yes. It shows that He cares enough for us to give us the corrections so that we can get back on the right, straight narrow pathway so that we can gain rewards, that we can build up this gold and precious stones and so forth. But if we don't have the correction, then we might go down the wrong pathway, and He loves us so much, He doesn't want us to do that. So He'll give us an attitude adjustment now and then. He'll rebuke us. He'll even chasten us. Give us a good whooping. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And that is very, very encouraging. It might not sound very encouraging that you're going to get a whooping if you're a Christian. But it is. Because without correction, we are going to fall. We're going to stumble. We're going to go down the wrong pathway. We need the direction. We need the correction. We need to turn away from the sins. And when we get into those sins and then they start hurting us physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, in our relationships, and the Lord gives us good attitude adjustment, a slap upside the head, or a good whooping, whatever it is we need, rejoice in that and repent. Turn away from whatever it was that was causing you to get that chastisement. And be thankful. Be joyful that He cares enough for us to give us those corrections to get us on the right pathway. Verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." That verse 20 is applied to everyone, all mankind. The Lord is knocking on the door, open up, and He will come in unto you and you will become part of the family and you'll always be part of the family. Then listen up to the Holy Ghost. Abide by those rebukes and chastisements so you get on the right pathway, straight and narrow. Keep your garment clean. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." And that's a union that never is separated. You can mess that up by pulling away from Him and then you're going to feel miserable, but you're still part of the family. Because once He's in you all the time. But you can take and quench the Holy Ghost. You can tie Him up, gag Him, put Him in the back seat of your vehicle, take over yourself, get up in the front seat and you start driving. You're going to crash. Yes, you're still part of the family. That's encouraging. But you sure messed up bad. You just blew it. You just eat up so many rewards. You just hurt your relationship with God. You become a very disappointment. But we need to know. Listen up to the Holy Ghost. Let Him be in the driver's seat, not you. And then hang on for the ride. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Isn't it awesome that He allows us to be that connected with Him, that He will be with us and in us for eternity, and then when we do right, we're going to get rewards for that? And it will be able to be right there with Him for eternity. That is so awesome. Far, far more than we could ever deserve, that's for sure. No matter how hard we were to work, no matter how many lifetimes over and over, we still couldn't earn what the Lord blesses us with each and every day. All right, now let's look at some encouraging things about the last days that we see in Revelation Chapter 19 through 22. We'll cover as much as we can here of that, but let's get right into it and we see the things unfolding at the last days in Revelation chapter 19. "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." Now, the one who's hearing this is John, who's been lifted up in the Spirit and been able to witness all these things. As it continues, "For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever." Of course, this is talking about the destruction of Babylon and all that Babylon represents in the tribulation time. As it continues, "And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now this marriage is the marriage of the church with the Lord. The marriage of the church being the born-again Christians. All of those that are born again, whether they be of Jews or whether they be Gentiles, but they are the bride. Read 7 again. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All right, so what we got here is some very encouraging things to let us know that all of us that become born-again Christians prior to the millennial period are being described here as the bride. A special level, a special recognition for being a part of that. Now, you also got to understand, though, that during the millennial period, during the 1,000 years, there'll be more people being born again that are those that survived the tribulation time going over into the millennial period that hadn't died yet, and the children that they have during the millennial period. They're under a different category, a different class than these that he's speaking of here. Because these that he's speaking of here at this time, along the timeline, are those that are born again prior to the beginning of the millennial period. And they will rule and reign with Jesus Christ for that 1,000 years. And he's recognizing them here as a bride, being connected up with the Lord, and then given special tasks, what we will be given during the millennial period. All right, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, to behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This is speaking of the annihilation of all of those ungodly people that were still alive at the end of the tribulation time, and the binding of the false prophet and the Antichrist and casting them into the lake of fire, and the initiating of the last stage of the tribulation time, which will be the binding of Satan and casting him into a bottomless pit, which we'll read in chapter 20 next time. And we'll see how the 1,000 years of ruling and reign with Jesus Christ gets initiated, and then the final judgment of the great white throne judgment, and then the new heavens and the new earth, so much more that we have that is very encouraging to look forward to. But that's all we have time for today, knowing that this is great and awesome things ahead of us that we are able to be a part of because we trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's going to be right there with us. He's going to be fighting the battle. And with the sword of his mouth, that's his word. With his very word that he speaks, he's going to be able to annihilate all those that are evil merely by speaking it. Well, let's go ahead and close here, and we'll pick it back up in Revelation chapter 20 next time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for your word. All these things that we've studied all the way here, right to the very end of time, to the initiating of the 1,000 years of ruling and reigning, and then going on over into the eternal state. So much that we have to look forward to. So much more than we can possibly comprehend or understand. We thank you for the encouraging things that we see here recorded, and help us have that burning desire to always dig into here to find those encouragements when we see the signs of the times changing, that we can get excited about it because we know what's ahead of us born-again Christians. And help us all get out there and share the word so that more can come in and be a part of your family as well. Thank you oh so much for the opportunity as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.